Amen. Thank you, Brandon. I believe that today was God-ordered, and because there was something completely different planned, and it fell through, and I just felt in my heart that this is a day of healing. And one of the reasons why is because the 1st of April, when I went to Dayton, Ohio, to United Theological Seminary, they had a special service of a special time together, those 3 days, of the miracles, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and powerful teaching on the Holy Spirit. And there was great healing and wonderful teaching and wonderful worship that took place. And it was so needed that God knew what Judy and I both needed before we came back to Texas to begin this journey. And I believe that God wants to provide the same for each of you. And this is a first for me. And God is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who is in charge of this service. He should be every Sunday. I think sometimes we're afraid of the Holy Spirit because we like to be in control. And we wonder, and as Caleb prayed this morning when we were together, come Holy Spirit, we trust you. You are good. You know what is best. We're going to follow you. And if you haven't noticed already, all of our music had to do with trusting in the Holy Spirit. And so, and then I heard someone tell me this morning before church started, said that they believed that they were God's favorite. And so to believe that you're God's favorite child, okay, and that you are special, you are the apple of his eye, Scripture says, and he is very aware of who you are and where you are, and to know that, and that you are God's child and you are his favorite. So to keep that in mind today. And so we're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture. I'm going to read the first section, and then there's another healing story, and then we're going to look at a second healing story later on in the sermon, because the theme today is about healing. Whether you are in need of physical healing, mental, spiritual, emotional, whatever it is that you are in need of, the opportunity to receive, to hear the Word of God and to listen to the Holy Spirit and to receive what He has in store. And so, hear the Word of the Lord this morning. The first one is Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Getting echo here, kind of an echo sound. It says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of the people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. And so this story begins with a man being covered with leprosy. And to me, it is symbolic of how we enter this world in sin, being covered with leprosy, being covered with sin. Because the effect that leprosy has on people is similar to the effect that sin has on people. And being covered with leprosy, especially in that day and time, was a really bad situation, because those three words, being covered with leprosy, meant basically the kiss of death for many. Leprosy was, in fact, worse than death. And it was a disease that practically made a person dead from their family and dead from their community. Leprosy severely disfigured people. Their skin would literally fall off of their bones and off of their noses, and their noses would often collapse. Their bones would twist, and their hands would curl up and wither. And if that wasn't enough, and that's a pretty grotesque picture, The people understood leprosy in that day to be extremely contagious, and therefore the leper was exiled from their family and from their community. And I can't even imagine to be completely isolated from your support system, from your loved ones, to not ever be able to be touched or to be around others. In fact, when you came in the vicinity of other people, you had to shout, "Unclean, unclean," and in order to so that people could avoid you and avoid contact with you at all possible. And so that made that person basically untouchable. And to me, that would be a miserable existence. But if you think about it, sin causes us to rot as well. And sin deforms our existence, may not necessarily be physically, but it does deform us. And no one has the ability to transform our life or change or wash or cleanse us free from sin outside of Jesus Christ himself. And so we are basically, that condition is untouchable outside of Jesus Christ. And so I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? To realize that our existence of how bleak it is if you were living a life outside of Jesus Christ. And I know that we have several visiting with us today. We have a couple that's passing through on the way to Arizona, and I'm so glad that you chose to visit with us today. My mom is visiting here today from Colorado Springs, and there may be others. And y'all originally, though, from where? Where are you traveling from? I know you're going to Arizona, but where are you traveling from?
In Michigan.
Okay, we won't hold that against you, no. But we're glad that you're visiting here with us today. And I don't think it's an accident that anyone is here today. But it's not going to be a normal service. But I think it's going to be a blessed service. But nevertheless, this is a story about a man covered with leprosy. And we may not have the disease of leprosy, but there might be some things that have distorted or tainted or twisted or skewered, or you may feel just absolutely untouchable. Whatever it is that you are going on in your life, you may identify with this man. And the leper in this passage today falls on the ground at Jesus' feet. With his face to the ground, he begs him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And he knew that. He had faith to believe that. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Aren't you glad that Jesus is willing? And for all practical purposes, this leper perfectly embodies the curse of the fall. Our fallen, sinful nature, as I was saying before. He is the walking demonstration of sin and death. Okay? And yet Jesus is precisely the opposite. He is the perfect embodied of the gospel. All right? Jesus is the good news. He is the walking demonstration of giving life. He is the spirit of life. He is the healer. In fact, that is the reason he came, was to restore, to deliver, to reverse the curse of the law. So what happens next is completely unnecessarily and by some seen as utterly absurd, especially from the Jewish community, because Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches the man and he says, "I am willing, be clean." But the significance is the fact that Jesus touches the man, which was completely unnecessary. All he had to do was to speak his word. His word is very powerful. Anything that he speaks forth has got the creative force and power. And yet he chooses to reach out and to touch him. And would it not be the very thing that that man would need since he was untouchable, since he had been separated from family and community? Would that not be the literal sign of love and acceptance for someone to come and to be able to not be afraid of you and to reach out to you unconditionally, which is what Jesus does? And to touch you? Wow, that's pretty awesome. And what was absurd was the fact that, yes, Jesus was fully divine. And he is God himself and he has the power to heal, but he was also fully human. And therefore, it meant that he was vulnerable to that leprosy. But the other important factor is if being a good Jew that he was, is that any clean person that touches an unclean person, that clean person then becomes unclean. And this leper was considered to be unclean. That's why he had to shout, unclean, unclean, because of the cleansing and dietary rituals that the Jews had. And yet Jesus reverses the curse, and he touches the leper, and not only does the leper become clean, but Jesus does not become unclean. Okay? Amen. He doesn't become unclean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and Jesus touched the untouchable in order to reveal the power of his love. And I believe that that's what the Holy Spirit has in store for us today, is wanting to reveal to us the power of God's love. Because love casts out all fear. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love brings healing to those who encounter the Holy Spirit. And this power of love is a revelation of extravagant love. It's a revelation of Jesus' love when he touched this leper. And he touched him simply because he loved him. And if you'll remember back in Luke chapter 4, Jesus came into the synagogue and he received the scroll, and it happened that the reading for that day was from Isaiah, and he declared that he was the very one that was fulfilling that prophecy, that he came to bring good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to make the blind see, to heal the sick, to bring deliverance, to bring freedom to those who were in prison. And he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in me. And if you remember back, that is why Jesus came. That is what he was doing. He was fulfilling that before their very eyes. It wasn't because Jesus was trying to convince anybody of anything. He knew who he was and that he was God. But he was going about reversing the curse since the fall of Adam and Eve. Listen to what he says to this leper. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. The reason why he told him to go do that is because the priest was the one that was going to confirm and to verify that this was real, that this was legit, that he had received his healing, that he was now clean. Jesus didn't violate these laws and rules. He fulfilled them, and he knew that this was needed in order for him to be able to return to his family and into his community. And so that was a needed step for that man to go and to show himself to the priest so that the priest could confirm that that had taken place. And so that meant that that man then, that day, was going to be back in the embrace of his family and back in the embrace and in the presence of the community of faith. Can you imagine the joy, the exuberant joy, not only for that man, for the people in the community and for that man's family? And no longer was his name going to be, oh, it's just that leper over there, but now he was going to hear his name called once again. This is what love does. This is how the gospel works. This is who Jesus is. Amen? This is what it's all about. I just don't think we realize it. That it really gets into the core of our being. And if Jesus dwells in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, what Jesus said, I'm going to go and sit at the right hand of the Father, but you stay here and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. That is my promise. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives and dwells in each of you. And if that is true, and you have the Holy Spirit, which is the fullness, it's the fullness of God and the power of God, then don't you think that that also means for you and me that it is what we do, and it is the message we are to proclaim, and it is the work that we are to be about, and that it is who we are? And I think that is the downside, is that we don't realize that this same Jesus that did all of these healing miracles, he told the disciples they would do the same and even more so. Okay? And so you need to believe that the Holy Spirit is in you and you have that same authority, that same power to be able to lay hands on others and to see them healed. It requires faith. in Jesus Christ. So what if this kind of love were possible for you? What would that mean for you today? If this kind of love is possible for you, and it is, what does that mean for you today? This story began with a man being covered with leprosy, but it ends with a man being covered with love. Would you like to be covered with love? Would you like to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit that is so real that you feel His presence enveloping you in His love? Do you believe it is possible for you to become the supernatural love of God for others? And have you thought about that? Do you believe that you can become the supernatural love of God for others? That's what Jesus intended with the disciples. That's what He intended when He sent the Holy Spirit, is for us to go and to do what He did, to be His representatives, to be His apprentices, to become like Him. And that's what an apprentice is someone who sits at the feet of another, and they study and they study and they absorb and they receive and they become like that one that they have been with. So I ask you again, do you believe it is possible for you to become the supernatural love of God for others? Because it's true. It's true. When you said that you believed in Jesus Christ, when you asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life, when you confessed with your mouth that you believed in Jesus Christ, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Yes, you did. You received the Holy Spirit. He is there. To have more of an intimacy and more of an awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit in you requires holiness, humility, faithfulness, and commitment. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to fight for first place in your life. It requires to be still and to know God and to allow His Spirit to work out your salvation. For you to become holy as He is holy. We had that sermon about 3 weeks ago. Do you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life? You can certainly ask for more. Okay, let's go to the next healing story. Luke 5, verses 17 through 26. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. So see, that's the fulfillment in Acts. You know, I want you to go into Jerusalem, Judea, and the outer ends of the earth. They had come from those areas. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. So again, that's affirming what Jesus said that He had come to do in Luke chapter 4. So here it is in Luke chapter 5. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. So men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus knew what they were thinking, and He asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Now that was a huge statement that Jesus just made in front of those Pharisees, all right? That was huge, because He's saying, "Hey, I'm God, okay? I want you to know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins." So He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home." Immediately He stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Wow. Don't you think that's how the gospel is spread, is when people witness the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and they see a change and they go, "Wow, we've seen some things today. This is real." Don't you think they're going to go and share that And don't you think people want to see are going to come in a curiosity of wanting to see and to experience the same thing? And that was what was taking place. And I'm still trying to picture the look on the people's faces when the former leper showed up at the dinner table at the door of their house for dinner. Because you remember, these two stories are connected. They aren't separated out. They're connected. This is a story that is continuing on. And I can imagine that there was sheer joy in that house. And word was bound to spread. That's what was happening. The word was spreading because of the gospel. The good news was happening before their very eyes. Don't you think that's what we need in this nation today, is to see the gospel of Jesus Christ to spread abroad and for people to experience the power of the Holy Spirit? Yes. And so word reached Jerusalem, and Jerusalem sent some representatives out to see what all the fuss was about. And Jesus was preaching in a packed house that day. And suddenly, if you can imagine, like if I was standing here and all of a sudden debris began to fall down in front of Jesus, all right? That debris began to and light began to shine through and in the room. And a portion of that thatched roof just began to roll back like a mat. And they began to lower the man through that roof. And I can imagine the people and the murmuring that was going on as that was taking place. I could hear the crowd now. Can you believe this? The nerve of those guys doing that. What were they thinking? I suppose they think they're more important than everybody else. They couldn't get into the house, so now they're on top of the roof. Here's tons of people here. I sure hope Jesus gives them a real good rebuke. They're way out of line. You think that's what some of the murmuring was that was going on that day? I do too. And the next thing that we see is the paralyzed man being lowered down through the hole in that roof, positioned in the floor right in front of Jesus. And people probably saying, what on earth is about to happen? How in the world is Jesus going to respond to all of this? See, I think that's what we're afraid of. What's going to happen? And when Jesus saw their faith. Whose faith? Whose faith did Jesus see? It was the four friends on the roof, wasn't it? Jesus saw their faith and he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. That personal pronoun, their faith. The paralyzed man didn't say he had the faith. It was his four friends' faith. And Jesus heals the paralyzed man in response to the faith of the paralyzed man's friends. So you can imagine the speech that Jesus could have given the people that were gathered there that day. It's not in Scripture. I'm just going to kind of fill in the blanks. Maybe this happened, okay? He probably put everything on hold and he said, you see, guys, this is why I'm here today. These four friends, they didn't try to cram into this house and get the front seat and make it all about them. They immediately ran across town because they knew they had this paralyzed friend, and they gathered together and picked him up and ran across town. They probably ran all the way, and they came to bring him before me because they knew that I had the ability to heal. And when they got to the doors and they saw that the house was crowded, they didn't stop there. They didn't let that stop. They made a way, and that's exactly what love does, is it finds a way. It doesn't allow obstacles to stop you. And so they climbed up on the roof and they began to chip away, and they were willing to take that risk, which is what love does. Love is willing to take a risk so that they could bring their loved one before Jesus Christ. How many of you are willing to do something that radical in order to bring people to the love of Jesus Christ? How many of you are willing to look foolish for Jesus? Yes. And it's a scary thing, but that is probably what Jesus was saying. And these people did not put their needs before the paralyzed man. They put the paralyzed man's needs first, which is exactly what love does. And they did the unconventional in order to accomplish the impossible. It wasn't couth or kosher. The fact that they did what they did to that roof, I'm sure they were going to have to pay for that roof being destroyed. But it didn't matter. What mattered was getting their friend before Jesus. Amen? They weren't concerned about the mess. They weren't concerned about the details and the things that were happening. And because they did that, the impossible happened. Yes, it stirred up a hornet's nest. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began asking themselves, well, who is this fellow doing these things? Only God can do this. This is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins outside of God? And not only had Jesus blown all of their conventions and the theories and rules and regulations out of the water, there is no human being that has ever declared themselves. There was no category for anybody to be God except for God. But Jesus took it a step further. He knew that's what they were thinking. And so Jesus says, but I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Woo, he just blew them out of the water. He just told them, hey, I know what you're thinking. And yes, it's true. I'm God. I've got the authority to do this. And I'm telling this paralyzed man, I tell you to get up and take your mat and to go home. How many of us are paralyzed with fear, paralyzed with indifference, paralyzed with things in our lives, and we have our excuses? That's what that mat represents. The excuses that keep you wayward, that keep you lame, that keep you from walking in obedience to Jesus Christ. How many are paralyzed and not walking in the fullness of what Jesus created you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? And he says to that man, your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and walk. Take it up. There are no more excuses. Walk, walk, walk. And everyone was amazed, and they gave praise to God, and they were all filled with awe. What we have seen here today is remarkable. So if you want to see people in awe of God and filled with praise and adoration and declare that it is remarkable, don't you think it is time for us to begin to walk and to operate and function with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Don't you? And to begin to step out in faith and do what is unconventional or what is weird or off the wall or whatever. Because if it's the Holy Spirit telling you, that's all that matters. You just walk in obedience. And so the question is have you ever taken a risk even remotely close to what the paralyzed man's friends did? Have you ever taken that kind of a risk? I haven't. Except maybe going through this legacy, that was quite a risk. Listening to God step by step, and it is scary. It is scary because what goes in your mind is, well, what if it doesn't work? Or what if it doesn't happen? Or what if it fails? What if, what if? And those are all lies of the enemy. Because God is there already. He's already in advance working on your behalf. He is already there. He's just waiting for you to show up. Okay? That's all he's waiting on. And so how we're going to end the service today is a healing service. And I want you to be willing to take a risk. A risk. You may have a need that you need to receive and come up here and to be prayed for. Caleb, I want you to go ahead and come up here right now, though. Or you may feel in your heart that the Holy Spirit's moving up on you, that you're the person that's going to lay hands and pray on everybody, that you have the gift of healing, that you might have a word of knowledge, that you may have something that you need to say. Caleb did what I asked, and you're going to need a mic so people can hear you. When I asked for your hearts to be prepared, and he is going to share with you what he feels like God has laid on his heart. I turned it on.
For my notes.
I like to be back there too.
Okay. Pastor Tony's talking about taking risks, and for me, this is one. I hope you guys don't mind. I wrote all of this out because I'm a much better writer than I am a speaker. And this is really difficult to talk about. I really don't want to. So I don't think I would be standing here if this wasn't God. Because I'd really rather not talk about it. But I've been feeling like I need to share this, and it happened to pop in my head again one evening this week. And then the next morning I got an email from Pastor Tony saying we were doing a healing service and that we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, God, yeah. And sometimes I'm happy to receive the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to share it. But I'm really realizing that God does things in us, yes, for us, but also so that it can be passed on. And so I'm trying to do that today. So a few years ago, I was having problems feeling sad for no reason, having trouble focusing. I was having a really hard time in college because I couldn't pay attention for very long, and experiencing the symptoms of depression, even though I didn't know it. And finally, I told my parents, and we went to the doctor. The doctor confirmed that I needed to be on medication, and though I really did not want it, he put me on antidepressants. And if you've never experienced depression, it's hard to describe. It's really hard for me to explain really what it's like, but it's kind of like this. You feel sad for no reason. You have trouble sleeping. You have difficulty focusing, have trouble enjoying things that you love, and it bothers you that it affects your family, but you have no motivation at all to fix any of it. It's really hard to gather the strength to fix any of it. It's kind of like a boat that has strung a bunch of leaks and you're just stuck watching it. I think it's important that I explain it and important that you know what it's like because there are so many that deal with this. Especially as a high school teacher, I see it a lot in schools. It's a lot more frequent. And I used to think that depression was just sadness that could be beaten. And I thought that if I ever had it, I would just pull myself out of it. For a few years, I've been working on it, trying to focus on being positive and dealing with it. But this wasn't something I could beat with sheer willpower. I assumed it was something I just had to deal with. And I may be wrong, but I feel like depression is often viewed, even in Christian circles, as something that you just deal with or pray for help in dealing with it. Sometimes Christians with depression even feel wrong about it because if they are truly saved and filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, why would this happen? And then you start to think, am I truly a Christian? But Jesus said that even his followers would experience hardship. And we know that when you become a Christian, things don't just get easier. But thank God we have someone to lean on, right? But through all of this, I don't think I ever stopped to think that God could heal me. Maybe because I thought it was impossible, maybe because I had not heard of God healing such a thing, but who better to heal my mind than the one who made it? So then on August 25th, I believe that date's correct, I was leaving church and going to lunch, and it occurred to me that I should just ask. I was reminded of Ephesians 3:20, which says, "Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power and work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." So I asked him to heal me of my depression. I said a fairly short, honest prayer because I was also reminded of how the Bible says that we don't need to babble on through some long-winded prayer for us to be heard. And I felt different. I felt calm. And when I thought about things that usually made me depressed or anxious, I couldn't hit that low point where I used to be. It's like I just couldn't get there anymore. And although I was afraid of getting off my medicine because I've heard that it's not a good idea unless you talk to your doctor first, I felt like he told me to stop taking it. So I prayed about it and talked to Joby, and I felt like I should do it. I was worried, but I felt like I needed to have faith, and if God healed me, I needed to walk in it. So after I prayed and I talked to Joby, I felt like it was okay to take a lower dosage every other day, just so it wasn't such a shock to my body. And I did that for 2 weeks. And then I got off of it entirely. And now it's been 3 weeks that I'm free from taking that medicine. And I still have ups and downs just like a normal person, but I have found that I can't hit that low point anymore. Like when something happens that used to just throw me all the way down here, it just won't happen. I just can't get there. And now that if there's something in my life that needs fixing before, I may not have had the motivation to try and fix it, but I can more easily attack it and work on it instead of just watching and feeling overwhelmed. And I found now that I can genuinely enjoy some things a lot better than I used to. So I'm here to say that God does heal and that he can do infinitely more than we might ask or think.
Caleb, thank you for your willingness to be vulnerable and for sharing your story. Yeah, you can come up. You know, I said at the beginning of this service to believe that you're God's favorite, and you are. And Jesus came, and because of his love, he doesn't want any of his children to be suffering from anything, whether it's a hip replacement, depression, heart issues, a need for deliverance from fear, anxiousness. Our world is hurting, and yet no one's willing to offer this. And it's here, available for us. And so I'm going to ask you to come. Come and let's pray. And as people come to pray, don't leave them up here by themselves. You have the Holy Spirit. Come pray for them. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to have his way. Don't be afraid. Just trust. Just like you said, you know, you knew Caleb. He didn't lead you astray. You knew. Just listen to him. It's easy. We make it hard. So I'm going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come, and then I want y'all to come and to receive. I know we all have needs. Holy Spirit, we have sung about you today. We've talked about you. And now we invite you to come. Our best friend who comes along beside us, that's what a paraclete does. That's the Greek, the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you are here to come along beside us, to teach us, to show us the way, to heal us, to transform us. Come with your power and with your presence and meet us here today and accomplish all that you desire to do. I bind up fear in the name of Jesus. There's no room for fear. I bind you up, Satan. You have no authority here. Jesus Christ has already defeated you. I come against all lies in the name of Jesus. Only truth will stand. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you come? Please come.
You hold my every moment. You calm my raging seas. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you, Lord, I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. You hold my every moment. You calm my rage. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you, Lord, I trust in you. I believe you're my. Thank you.
You're my healer.
You're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need.
You're more than enough.
You're more than enough for me.
Jesus.
Jesus, you're all I need.
You're more than enough.
More than enough for me.
Last line, Jesus.
Jesus, you're all I need.
And the truth is Jesus is all we need. Amen? So let's give God a clap offering for what he did today. Hallelujah. 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 You want to defeat the enemy? Tell the testimony of what you experienced here today. Whether you came up here or not, you experienced something from God. Share that with someone else today. And they'll go, wow, that's amazing. And then they're going to want to come and to see and to receive. Praise God. Give him all the glory. Thank you for being here today. Amen. Be healed.
Deep, deep waters are gonna jump.